Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe. Welcome to Believe in the Ivy League, a look inside the ancient eight teams in the Ivy League and their upcoming games with all of the stats, trends, and analysis that you want to hear. And now, here's your host, Tom Barton.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Believe in the Ivy League. I am Tom Barton with TomBartonSports.com. Go check me out at TomBartonSports.com. Hit me up over on YouTube at Tom Barton Sports as well. Tom Barton Sports on Twitter and over on the X Tom Barton Sports as well. Guys, here we are. It's a postseason in the Ivy Leagues, and we have three teams make the postseason, if you include the NIT, which I do. Three teams into the postseason, and three teams that at any point in the year, you could really argue that any of these teams could have won the Ivy League tournament, could have gone to the NCAA tournament. I really believe, and I've made the argument many, many times, that Princeton at 24-4 belonged. And I think that if Princeton would have gotten past Brown and lost to Yale, I think there would have been some serious consideration. My argument, I sat there in the media room at the Mountain West Conference. I was at the Mountain West Conference, the Big West Conference this week. And you know, talking to people about Princeton and what their options were. And I said, look, I don't believe that the Mountain West should get six teams. I didn't believe Virginia should be in the field, and I don't think Michigan State should be in the field. And I thought that Princeton could hang. Well, Princeton had an opportunity to sort of show what they can do against UNLV. UNLV team had a phenomenal end of the season, winning 10 of 11 at one point. They held 9 of 10 teams to 68 or less points. I mean, it was a phenomenal showing from them. And then they got a bad draw. They got San Diego State in the first round in a very close game. UNLV was a really good team. They went up against Princeton, who couldn't defend the three, and it was a scoring fest. That was a back-and-forth game in the NIT. Princeton, three-point favorite, just couldn't cover the number. That's couldn't get the win. That's fine, but there was a point in before the game, during the game, and after the game that you said, man, Princeton could have had that game. I think it was a good showing by Princeton and a good year by them, and I think they got shafted. Look, do I think that they would have done damage in the tournament? No, but it's not really about if you could do damage. To me, it's always about, do you deserve to be? And I felt like they deserved to be in the tournament. To me, Princeton was a team that was a tournament team, but they got left out. It's still a very good year for them. Just a disappointing ending to the year. Now, the team that knocked them out, Brown, didn't make any postseason play. What a horrible ending at the end there for Brown, but let's tip our caps to what Brown did at the end of the year. Streaking. They were 6-17 at one point, did not win back-to-back games, then rattled off seven games in a row, money line winner plus 11, on that Saturday, came back with 20 seconds to go. They had the lead, and they were outscored 7-1 at the end of the game, couldn't hit those two big free throws. But Brown was a dynamic team as well. Brown could have gone into this tournament, maybe been a shocking team. The other team was Cornell. Cornell before the year, I told you guys I thought Cornell could win with scoring. During the season, I was pumping up Cornell each and every day, and I thought that they had the offense that could do something. I did believe that at a point, they could have been a second tournament team if they did not win the Ivies. No, they didn't have the record that Princeton had, of course, but they also were a team that got into the NIT with a lead. Look, this is a team that was a double-digit underdog. I think the final number went off at about 11.5 or 12. Double-digit underdog on the road against Ohio State in Ohio State's building
a Big Ten powerhouse year after year, and they had the lead with minutes to go. Now, they lost the game, but Cornell proved something in that game as well. Guys, when the Ivy League is trying to go out there and open people's minds, it's games like that. It's games on the road. I know you can tell me all you want if you're Ohio State that the NIT didn't matter or whatever. You still had a home game as a double-digit favorite, and Cornell gave you everything that you wanted. That game was back and forth. Every time that Cornell took the lead, Ohio State came storming back. Every time Ohio State got a little bit of a lead, boom, Cornell would hit a big three, and they came storming back. Give all the credit in the world to the seasons that Brown had, the season that Cornell had, and the season that Princeton had. Because just because you went out in that fashion, Brown, hold your head extremely high. Yeah, missed field free throws at the end, two missed free throws at the end, three of the last four. That hurts. That stings. You could have went to the NCAA tournament. But man, look back to when you were 6-17 and had not won back-to-back games. That was an accomplishment of a season. Cornell, you just came up short. You wanted the Ivy League title this year. Yeah, I absolutely get it. But you went to Ohio State in their house, national TV game, 12-point underdogs, 11.5, whatever it might have been, and you hung with them. You were right there until the final seconds in that game. And Princeton, look, 24-3 is nothing to sit back and say you didn't have a good season. Yeah, you wanted to win the Ivies. Yeah, you wanted an at-large bid. Basically, you came one game short. I think if they would have beaten Brown and then maybe lost to Yale in the championship, I think it would have been a different conversation. I think that we had a serious, serious conversation about should Princeton have been the second bid to get into the NCAAs. But we do have one team in the NCAA tournament. That is Yale. They play Friday afternoon, 4:15 Eastern time. Yale is a 12.5 or a 13-point underdog to Auburn. Now, Auburn is streaking in the right direction. They are absolutely on fire right now. Bruce Pearl has this team just playing exceptional basketball. 86-67. They absolutely wiped out Florida in their final game. They beat Florida, they beat Mississippi State, and they beat South Carolina. They scored 86 points in two of those three games in the postseason. Coming into the postseason, they put up 92 on Georgia in a win. Missouri, 101 in a win. The last game they lost was on February 28th to Tennessee, and they still put up 84 in that game. You go back to the game on the 17th, which was a loss there. They only put up 59 against Kentucky, and you have to scratch your head and ask, you know, what happened there? Why? They did lose, guys. You know, they lost four games in an eight-game stretch in the middle of February, well, January into February, and five games in a 10-game stretch before they went on this six-game losing streak. So this is not the dynamic, unstoppable team that you normally see. Now, the offense has found its rhythm. The offense, like I said, scoring 86 points in two of the three postseason games, scoring 92 and 101 the two games before that. So they've scored 86 or more points in four of the last five games. Yeah, you start to look at this team and you go, that's some offense. Before that, oh, by the way, like I said, 97 against Georgia, 84 in a loss to Tennessee, 101 to South Carolina, 99 to Alabama, 91 to Ole Miss, 81 to Vanderbilt. And this team scores. They score at will. Now, the defense is pretty good. They held Florida to 67 points, which Florida is an all-scoring team. Mississippi State to 66, South Carolina to 55. The defense has been very good at times, but they've also let up some points. 78 to Georgia, even in a win, is not good. 92 to Tennessee is not good. By the way, 76 to Georgia before that as well. A Georgia team that you don't expect to see that. Florida put up 81 on them. Alabama put up 81 on them in a win. So you look at Auburn and you go, they have no problem in a high-scoring game. They have been beating teams now for the better part of 2 weeks relatively handedly, and their offense is rolling. Let's go to Yale now, because Yale is a team that I think is a live dog here. They beat Cornell and held that Cornell offense to just 57 points. A Cornell offense that was scoring 80-plus points per game. A Cornell offense that was dynamic. Then they held Brown to 61 points. And not only that, they held Brown to 22 first-half points. Their defense was phenomenal. You go to the game before, you know, the end of the season against Brown. That was an overtime game, so maybe those numbers will look a little bit crazy with an 84, but it's really only 73 when you take away overtime. Harvard to 60, Dartmouth to 56. They want to slow the game down. Hey, look, the best offense they faced probably all year is Cornell. They just held them to 57, and even in a loss, only to 65. Even Princeton, who had a pretty good offense, 73. Like I said, that Brown, 73. Cornell before that only got 75. So their offense has been fantastic pretty much all year long. Even Kansas, when they had to go to Kansas and take on the Jayhawks in a very tough environment, held them to 75 points in that game, and they held them to 32 first-half points before exploding in the second half. That's a tough environment. They went to Vermont, tough environment, held them to 66. So you look at their games all year, really the only bad defensive game they had was in game two against Gonzaga on the road where they let up 86. I don't think that Auburn wants to get into a slugfest with Yale. I don't think they want to get into a game where they're playing into the 70s. That's the Yale kind of game, into the low 70s. They could stop this offense. Now, there are stats and trends that will tell you that in the NCAA tournament, when you have slow teams going up against fast teams, up-tempo teams against slower teams always win, or at least always keep it close. They always win the battle of how the pace will be played. That's what Yale is counting on. Yale is counting on the battle of the pace being played at their pace. I think Yale is a live dog here, guys. I do. Plus 13. Everybody seems to love Bruce Pearl. Everybody seems to love Auburn. And I get why. What we just watched, recency bias is massive in the NCAA tournament. And what we just watched was that this is an Auburn team that might win it all. I mean, they look like a Final Four team over the last week and a half or 2 weeks. They are dominating people. Their offense is on fire. But I question the pace. Look, you question the pace of the teams that they played. Florida wants to run. That's not a defensive team. Mississippi State, they don't play primarily defense. Now, South Carolina, you could argue, is the defensive team. Sure, they kind of just beat them up, and they had their way with South Carolina. You start to look at where did they go wrong? You know, what are the teams that they lost against? Look, Tennessee wants to slow the game down. They lost against Tennessee. You look at our other teams that kind of want to slow the game down, bring it to a crawl. How can this game kind of be dictated that way? Appalachian State wants to slow the game down. They had a lot of success, and they won that game. St. Bonaventure's wanted to slow the game down. They only scored 77 against them. So I think if Auburn gets into a game where they are playing at a slower pace and Yale gets into a game where they're able to dictate that slow pace and dictate the limited possessions, dictate the wide eating time off the clock, I certainly think that Yale can stay within the 13. What about the upset? What will have to happen with the upset? Well, I've mentioned it before the year, and I'll mention it again here. Yale had the best player in college basketball for the Ivy Leagues on their team. They also had the best defensive player returning from last year on their team. They're going to need to drain the clock, eat the clock, make big possessions, and they're going to have to hit their threes. If that happens, guys, we could have an upset here. This is not out of the realm of possibility, and this isn't just because I'm talking on an Ivy League podcast. I think that Auburn certainly has shown the ability that maybe they go to the Final Four, but I also see holes in the armor of Auburn, and I think that you're looking at a Yale team that can exploit those holes. They're a smart, veteran team with a really, really good coach. These are the things that you look for in March. These are the things that I think can bring Yale a second-round champion, a second-round appearance, and moving on into the second weekend. I'll be having another podcast for that. If not, Yale, hey, good luck out there. Good season for all the other teams. Rooting for Yale. We're all Yale fans here in the Ivy League. And yeah, even if you're a Harvard guy or a Princeton guy, you're a Yale fan this weekend because you want to see the Ivy Leagues do well. All right, guys, have a very good weekend, and let's go Bulldogs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.